What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Okay, hello everyone. Hope everybody is having a good week. Today's case was actually suggested by one of our listeners, and her name is Kesia, I believe, K-E-S-I-A, which is a beautiful name.
Yeah,
if I'm saying it right. Hopefully I am.
Thank you for the suggestion. We love listener suggestions.
We do. And we appreciate them, and we have a ton, and we really want to get to like every single one.
We will.
So, of course, keep sending them in, because I love finding out about new cases, especially unsolved ones. You guys know that's like my passion, I guess.
Yeah.
This case is a solved one.
Okay.
And it is a horrific case, an absolutely horrific case.
Okay. And before you get into it, I also want to say, even if you think a case has been suggested before, it's okay to send it in. If you've sent it in, maybe don't send it in again. But if you like are like, oh, I bet this has been suggested, but I really want to hear it, it's okay to still send it in, because sometimes we'll look at ones that have been suggested several times.
Right.
So like, don't ever feel like, you know, oh, I bet a bunch of people have suggested this, so I'm not going to. You can still send it in.
Absolutely. And don't forget to send in case suggestions either on our website or directly to our email. We do get a lot of case suggestions on our Instagram, and sometimes we get to them and sometimes we don't, just because we have a lot of messages come in daily.
Yeah.
So it's just easier for us to keep it to go to our
website, because it comes in to a form that we can track and everything. So yeah, be sure to send it.
Right.
Send it.
And we keep them all together, so they're, you know, somewhat organized.
Yeah.
In a way.
The best organization we can do.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go ahead and jump into today's case. This is the horrifying murder of Sierra Jogin. Sierra Catherine Jogin was born on February 11th, 1996, to Sheila and Tim Jogin. She lived in the small town of Delta, Ohio, which is a little bit outside of Toledo.
Okay.
I always want to say Toledo, but I know it's Toledo. It's Toledo. And she graduated from Evergreen High School in 2014.
Okay.
Her family and friends called her C. Like C-E.
Okay.
Like, you know, short for Sierra, I assume. But for the sake of the case today, I'm just going to be referring to her as Sierra.
Okay.
Sierra had a great love for life and a wonderful sense of humor. She was confident and very outgoing. She loved to travel, especially when she traveled to Italy. Her family talked about how much that trip meant to her, and it was just such a fun time for her, and she just always talked about and, like, looked back on that trip. Sierra appreciated both city and country living and had a deep love for horses, and her family and their traditions were very important to her, and she treasured spending time with her family. She was super close to her family.
Okay.
After graduating from high school, Sierra attended the University of Toledo, where she was a member of the business fraternity Alpha Kappa Psi. In both high school and college, Sierra played volleyball, which she greatly enjoyed. And while attending school, she interned at her uncle's metal stamping business, ICE Industries, and she had planned to work in human resource management after graduation, so that was her major in college.
Okay, cool. I love that. I mean, I did a lot of HR stuff in business school, so...
Yeah, she was very driven. She had a lot of ambition, very driven, and just enjoyed staying busy and staying focused on her goals.
Okay.
And she was gorgeous, like absolutely gorgeous, like just stunning. On July 19th, 2016, Sierra told her mom, Sheila, that she was going to go for a bike ride to her boyfriend Josh's house, who lived in Fulton County, which is west of Toledo. Excited to ride her new bike that she had just bought at a garage sale, Sierra left her home around 5 p.m. Around 6:45, after hanging out for a little while, Josh decided to ride back part of the way on his motorbike with Sierra as she was planning to head back home. Josh even snapped a photo of the happy moment that the two had shared, and he uploaded it to his Snapchat. And in the photo, Sierra is seen smiling as she biked along the country road heading back home. Around 9:30 p.m., Sierra's mom, Sheila, returned home from a class she was attending that evening, and she pulled up to the house and noticed right away that Sierra's light in her room was off. At first, she didn't think anything of it and just assumed her daughter was still at her boyfriend's house. But as the minutes passed, Sheila started to grow a little concerned because she knew her daughter, and if she was planning to sleep over at Josh's, she would let her family know, you know, since they were very close.
Right. And feel like they always know. We've seen it over and over again.
That's true. Around 10:30 p.m., Josh called Sheila asking if Sierra had made it home, as he had been trying to call and make sure she got home safely because she was riding her bike. And, you know, it was a good little distance. It wasn't too far, but unfortunately, she was not answering. Sheila asked Josh, you know, what time did Sierra leave, and he told her that it was before 7 p.m. when they parted ways.
Okay.
They both agreed it was unusual for Sierra to not answer her phone.
Okay. Yep.
They continued to call and text Sierra, but to no avail, and eventually her phone started going straight to voicemail. Her family began reaching out to Sierra's friends. They even posted on Facebook asking for anybody who had seen her or talked to her to notify them, reach out to them. And they also called several hospitals in the area to see if, you know, she was riding her bike. That's really smart. She could have accidentally got hit by a car. I mean, anything can happen. So they called some of the hospitals in the area, but there was no sign of Sierra. Mm. Sheila knew that she needed to contact the police and report her daughter missing. Luckily, they sprang into action, and a massive search involving both the local police and community members was launched.
All right. Good job, police.
I know. Hundreds of searchers scoured the area looking for any sign of Sierra. Around midnight, a police officer searching a cornfield where Sierra was last seen discovered several rows of corn had been knocked over.
Oh.
Upon further investigation, the officer discovered Sierra's bicycle.
No.
He also noted that there were apparent signs of a struggle, along with motorcycle tracks throughout the area of the corn. In the same vicinity they located her bike, they also found a pair of men's sunglasses, a fuse box, and a screwdriver. And apparently, there was blood on the handles of her bike. So this led them to think that there was foul play. And it was far enough from the road to where they were like, she wasn't hit by a car and got injured that way.
Right.
But definitely some foul play had gone down.
Okay.
And this scene was only about a half mile from Sierra's home.
Oh my gosh.
So she was just half a mile from her home.
Oh. Wow.
With assistance from the FBI, local authorities made efforts to track Sierra using her Fitbit, which was actually photographed in the picture that Josh had taken. So they were able to say, okay, she had this Fitbit on, and they tried to trace her movements after they parted ways. But unfortunately, it did not bring any new leads. The sunglasses from the scene were tested, and they did find male DNA on them, as well as the blood on the bicycle, which matched Sierra's. Investigators began to believe that Sierra had more than likely been abducted.
Okay.
Of course, the first person they sought for questioning was her boyfriend, Josh, since he was the last person who had seen Sierra. Naturally, they started there.
Right.
Josh recounted the events that took place while the two of them were together and told the police that they had parted ways around 6:45 p.m. Even though he was a little upset, he did allow police to search his home, his truck, his motorcycle, and his clothes. They did find some bloody coveralls, but they determined that that blood was animal blood from a day where he had been hunting.
Okay.
Josh was completely in love with Sierra, and he told the police that he would never harm her, and he planned to actually marry her one day. So after their investigation, Josh was cleared as a suspect, and police offered up a reward for, I saw in some sources it was $25,000, and in other sources it was $100,000.
Oh, wow.
For any information leading to Sierra's safe recovery, but nonetheless, a reward was offered up.
Okay.
A few days later, a local farmer returning home had spotted a motorcycle helmet off to the side of the road, and he gathered it up and took it into police. The helmet had visible signs of blood on it, so police were able to have it tested, and they got a hit. Not only did the helmet have Sierra's DNA on it, but it also had the DNA, or also had DNA belonging to a man who lived just a mile away from the crime scene.
Okay.
And that man was 57-year-old James Worley.
Okay.
And this guy looks like a big giant creep, let me just tell you.
Ugh.
Worley was a violent offender and had previously been charged and convicted of violently abducting a young woman on a bicycle in 1990.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why was he not in jail?
So here's what happened. Tell me how absurd this is. Robin Gardner, who had been out riding her bike in White House, Ohio, was struck by a man in a truck. That man was Worley.
Okay.
Robin testified that Worley then got out of his vehicle, hit her over the head, and placed handcuffs on her wrist. He then held a screwdriver to her throat and said, quote, "I will kill you if you do not stop screaming." And then he attempted to force her into his truck.
Oh my God.
Thankfully, she was able to get away and seek help from a passing motorist. I know.
Wow.
Like, I'm just so thankful that she was so lucky that she was able to get away because.
Yeah. But why isn't he in jail?
So Worley was arrested and convicted on abduction charges, and he was sentenced to 4 to 10 years in prison.
Are you kidding?
With the possibility of parole. But this motherfucker only served 3 years before he was released early by his own petition.
Oh my
God. So he petitioned for early release and they granted it to him.
Ugh.
And this is like one of those things where we always say attempted murder should still be tried as murder because they just didn't do it.
Yeah, like you just suck it basically doing it. And
exactly.
Yeah,
and that's basically what happened here. Like if she would not have gotten away, I sadly but wholeheartedly believed her fate would have been the same fate that Sierra was met with.
Yeah. Oh, that's so frustrating.
I know. And if he was still in jail, none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
So police arrived at the home of Worley, whom he shared with his mother, and they began searching the property. They told him there was a local girl missing, and he reluctantly let them search his property. During their search, Worley was visibly agitated that they were there and told police, quote, "I'm not out here killing chicks."
Oh. Okay, and that's, what? Like,
yeah.
Okay,
well,
what to say to that.
I guess if you're not out here killing chicks, we're just going to pack up our shit and leave.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. And the fact that he used chicks.
Yeah, that's so disgusting.
Yeah. So the property was the house, you know, that they lived in. And there was also, it was on an acre of land, and there were several barns near the main house, one of which Worley used as a workshop, where he would fix up motorcycles and do engine repairs. And at the end of that barn, one of the agents noticed that the dirt had just been raked up.
Okay.
There were also several bales of hay covering the area. And when they were moved, a green box with chicken wire wrapped around it was found underneath.
Okay.
So they dug up the box, and inside that box, they uncovered lingerie and a pair of women's underwear that had blood on it.
Oh, okay.
So this was enough for them to take Worley down to the police station for questioning, and they continued to also search his property.
Right.
They started out asking him if he knew Sierra, if he had seen her riding her bike around that area, and he denied knowing her or ever seeing her. They asked him about the items in the box, and he claimed it was going to be used for a pornography film that he wanted to produce.
I have no words. I want to strangle this guy. Are you kidding me?
So the bloody underwear was going to be used for a pornography film. Okay, buddy.
I have like a fidget ball that I play with when we record, and I'm squeezing it so hard right now because like, oh, sorry. That was probably so loud, but it makes me so freaking mad.
I know.
What a disgusting piece of shit.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Police also noted that he had what appeared to be fresh bruises and scratches on his arms and his hands. So back at Worley's property, they began uncovering even more disturbing items. They found zip ties, a ski mask, mace. They also found a freezer that was lined with carpet, but had recently been cleaned with bleach.
Oh, that's not suspicious at all.
Mm-mm, no.
Not at all.
They also found handcuffs, rope, and duct tape. They recovered several recording devices from the property. And along with these gruesome discoveries, they discovered a makeshift dungeon hidden behind bales of hay in the barn that appeared to be a torture-like chamber.
My God. Are you kidding me?
No. There were restraints and an air mattress that very visibly had blood on it.
Oh.
But despite all the evidence they did find, they did not find Sierra.
No.
3 days later, on July 22nd, that would all change. In a shallow grave located just 12 miles from Worley's home, they uncovered Sierra's body. And this next part is just absolutely horrifying. She had been hogtied. She was gagged with some sort of plastic gagging mechanism. And she was found wearing an adult diaper.
Oh my God.
Sierra's autopsy concluded her cause of death was asphyxiation, but thankfully, there was no sign of sexual assault.
Okay.
But that does not mean that she was not used for some kind of sexual gratification.
Yeah.
Worley was arrested that same day that Sierra was located. On August 16th, 2016, Worley was indicted on 19 counts and was jailed without bail, thankfully.
Good, good. As he should be.
I know. That's like, yeah. Those charges included abduction and aggravated murder, plus tampering with evidence and abuse of a corpse.
Oh.
The prosecution believed that Worley saw Sierra on July 16th riding her bike and struck her in the head with his motorcycle helmet because he was on his motorcycle.
Ugh.
During the autopsy, the medical examiner found a hairline fracture on her skull, which proved that she had been struck with something.
Okay.
They believed that Worley then tied her up in the field, went home to get his truck, and then took her back to his house where he tortured and murdered her.
So he just left her there alive, tied up in the field?
So I will cover this in a second, but they believe that he actually waited there with her for 2 hours or two-ish hours because of the GPS on her phone and her watch being in that area for 2 hours. So he was waiting for it to get dark before he even moved her. And she was still alive at that point.
Yeah.
So imagine, how do you keep someone quiet for 2 hours? Like, I don't even want to think about what she must have endured.
No. And that's also so scary how much he thought about it and planned it.
Oh, yeah. Premeditated, meticulous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sierra's DNA was found on the air mattress that they recovered in his barn. And they also realized that the underwear were hers and the blood was hers. And they found her DNA on a piece of duct tape inside the barn.
Okay.
The duct tape also had Worley's DNA on it as well. There was a key to the handcuffs that she had been wearing. So she was hogtied. This is what I gathered from it. So she was hogtied with rope and duct tape.
Okay.
But the hog tying from her wrist to her feet were connected with the handcuffs.
Oh, jeez.
That's the way I gathered it.
Okay.
So the handcuffs that were used to basically, you know, this contraption or whatever, they found the key on Worley's keychain.
Okay.
So along with all of this evidence, they also found on his computer that just a month prior to this murder, he had searched the internet for hog-tied teen.
Oh my God.
Along with that search, the terms rape, hitchhiker, helpless, and gag were also searched. And then this is the part. So his cell phone, along with her cell phone and her watch, pinged the cornfield where Sierra's bike was found for 2 hours, leading investigators to believe that he waited there with her till it was dark before fetching his truck and taking her to his barn.
Jeez.
Worley pled not guilty to his charges. Are you fucking kidding me, man?
Are you kidding me? Dude.
Yeah, he's insane. During his trial, Robin Gardner, who was the woman that he attacked back in 1990, testified against him, expressing that he was a violent and disturbed man, that if she would not have gotten away that day, she would have likely met the same fate as Sierra.
Wow, good for her. That's amazing that she came forward and testified.
I know. I can't imagine having to do that.
No.
So his trial was originally supposed to start in September of 2016, and then it got pushed back and pushed back and pushed back.
Of course.
And it finally started in October of 2017.
Okay.
So the closing arguments for the trial concluded on March 26th of 2018. And jury deliberations began that same day.
Wow, okay.
After 6 hours, the jury came to their decision.
That's not a very long deliberation.
Guilty as fuck. Yeah. They did not take long at all.
Good.
So Worley was found guilty of 17 of the 19 charges against him.
Okay.
The jury recommended capital punishment. Which the judge, who was Judge Robinson, upheld. And on April 16th of 2018, he stated, quote, "If I thought there was a snowball's chance in hell that you were innocent, you'd be looking at a life sentence."
Oh my God. I love when judges make...
are like, fuck you, bitch. Yeah. Like, oh man. That reminds me of... what was that judge that you put on your, I can't think of the, Cruz. His last name was Cruz, the one that just got convicted. And she is a badass bitch. I love when they just say, they just kind of put their professionalism aside.
Yeah.
And they just share their disdain for these people. Because I can imagine how hard that must be to do that, you know, to maintain a professional composure.
Yeah, and you have to remain impartial until there's a verdict. Like, you have to, you know, you can't have your opinion. But at that point, it's like, okay, this has been decided. No.
Yeah. So on top of his death sentence, essentially, Worley was also sentenced to 11 years for kidnapping, 8 years for felony assault, 11 months for possessing criminal tools, and 36 months each for tampering with evidence and having weapons. Wow. Technically, he wasn't supposed to have weapons because he's a convicted felon. So Worley has sat on death row since that day in 2018. His original execution date was set for June 3rd, 2019, but it was postponed.
Of course.
According to an article on WTOL.com, in July of 2020, Worley's attorneys filed a motion with the Ohio Supreme Court to overturn his original conviction and grant him a new trial, citing the government's alleged failure to prove several aspects of the charges, along with Worley's mental illness, incompetent counsel, as well as several alleged violations by the jury.
Okay.
But thankfully, that appeal was denied, and Worley was given a new execution date of May 20th, 2025.
All right, good.
Whew. After the trial, Sierra's family wanted to do something in honor of their special girl, and they chose to try and find some light in the darkness of their great loss and their grief. Sheila, along with Josh, who is her mom and boyfriend, and Josh's sister and mother, started a charity in Sierra's honor called Keeping Our Girl Safe.
Aww.
And I will link that in the show notes if you would like to contribute or share. Donate or anything.
Yeah.
Share, at least, yeah. Sheila, along with Sierra's aunt Tara, fought for Sierra's Law, which provides a searchable database for felons living in the state who are convicted of specific violent offenses.
That's
which is
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. So they passed that in 2018.
Wow.
Also, in July of 2018, Worley's property was awarded to Sierra's estate, and her family had the barn where she was killed demolished.
Wow, that's amazing.
Amazing. I know. When I read that, it gave me like goosebumps.
Yeah, wow.
A monetary settlement of $3.6 million was also granted to Sierra's family, but they agreed not to execute that judgment unless the defendant received a large sum of money, such as winning the lottery or receiving a book or movie right or royalties to that.
Okay.
Sheila wants us all to remember the amazing young woman her daughter was and how her memory will live on in the lives of so many forever. She said, quote, "Sierra's life was worth far more than the 20 years she was able to live. She has inspired people she did not even know. And I can only wonder what great things she would have accomplished if she was still alive. But in her death, I know she's moving mountains."
Oh, that's making me tear up. Wow.
I know, just like rip my heart right out. But
yeah, that's amazing that her family were able to do so much and be so positive in such a tragic event.
I know. It really is. I always just look, I admire people like that because... Mm-hmm. Faced with that, I don't think I would be able to do the same. I really don't. But then again, you just never know how you'll react and respond dealing with that kind of grief. I mean, I hope I never, ever have to see how I respond to something like that. But
yeah, but that takes a hell of a lot of strength. So
it does. It really does. To them. It really does. But I just want us to all just take a moment to remember Sierra, her life, and how important she was, and how it's just so unfair that her life was taken from her by this horrific monster who is still alive and still gets to live his days just doing whatever, you know. Yeah, he's in prison, but he's still alive. So
yeah,
but that is all I have for you guys today. I will be sharing her beautiful picture and everything like that on our Instagram and our Facebook. Like I said, let's just all remember her and just be thankful that, you know, you have a life to live, because that's not always the reality for everyone.
Yeah.
But we will catch up with you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening, and keep it human.
Bye.